I love change, and my favorite change is of position. You may need to make one of those, so let me give you an assignment. You have 15 seconds to see how many people around you can tell you what AWANA stands for, CEF, and HCJB. And you may need to stand up to do that so you can shift the weight. Five, four, three, two, one. Okay, how many of you met somebody that knew what all three of them stand for? And we didn't get a lot there. Okay, now, AWANA, great, you don't say they stand for, but they AWANA comes from, a great verse in Scripture, and what you may not know, what Jeff, you may not know, the founder of HCJB was the co-founder of AWANA. And AWANA stands for, okay, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, and it comes from where? 2 Timothy 2:15, very good. How about CEF? Okay, they're okay on that one, John? We can go with that. And now, who knows what HCJB stands for in Spanish? You know, we're going to speak Spanish in heaven, so that's an important thing to be able to come up with. And so in Spanish, it's Hoy Cristo Jesús bendice. Translated means? That's not what it means translated, but that's what it means in English. And Hoy Cristo Jesús bendice means today Christ Jesus blesses. But in English, heralding Christ Jesus blessings. And these are exciting days to be involved with God in literally heralding Christ Jesus blessings. And I'm great to be able to share with these two guys tonight because I'm absolutely convinced there's two primary groups of people that we have got to reach, and we've got to reach them yesterday. One of them are children, and the second are internationals, people who come to our country to study and then go back and lead their countries all over the world. And if we miss those two opportunities, we have missed more than we will ever, ever know because of the gravity. I think that's part of what's challenging the world today is because we've tended to miss those two phenomenal opportunities. But it's great to be with you. Looking forward to the weekend. I feel tonight like I've been in Russia. Most of the time that I go into Russia and I'm invited to preach, I'm the third or fourth preacher of the evening. And I want you to know I have preached with people sitting in the windows in some of those churches over there. Those folks love to go to church, and they'll stay there all night. We were in one church one day. It was probably about this size. They estimated there were about 1,500 people present, standing in the aisles, sitting in all the windows, leaning on the wall all around. And we'd been going for 2 hours, and a pastor said, "Should we keep going?" And the people standing all shouted, "Keep going!" I thought, boy, that's not the United States when we come to that kind of a thing. But when we come to talk about missions, we get to talk about some great and privileged opportunities. Everybody has an idea about what a missionary is. And everybody, when you start talking about missions, has certain responses that we have. Trish and I were in London a few years ago, and I was with a group of high school kids. And I said, when you guys think of the word missionary, what comes to mind? And two kids at exactly the same time, one over here and one over here, said, somebody going around looking for money. Now, sometimes that's the way missionaries feel. But tragically, that was what some of those young people thought. Story came out of Ecuador. This is true. In Ecuador, there's always room for one more on the bus. And usually that one more is on there to borrow things. We call them pickpockets and other things such as. But we had a missionary come to visit Quito, staying in a guest house, not of HCJB, but another mission, but had to go downtown to conduct some business. So took all the necessary precautions because they were a missionary in Latin America and they knew what they needed to do. So she went downtown, conducted her business, and came back. And the bus on the back was really full, and there was this guy on the bus that every time the bus moved would bump into her. She felt like probably a little unnecessarily, that he probably didn't need to run into her that much. But she kind of, well, that's the way it is. And about partway back, she glanced down a watch to see what time it was, and her watch was gone. And like any good, godly Christian missionary would say, she said, "That dirty rat stole my watch." So she bumped the guy hard and says, "Give me the watch." And the guy looked at her like she's crazy. So she took her umbrella that every self-respecting Ecuadorian missionary always carries and jammed it in his ribs and says, "Give me the watch and put it in the bag now." And there was this shuffle and this thunk in the bottom of her bag. And this guy immediately moves and goes to the front and gets off the bus. And about four stops later, she gets off the bus, gets out, opens the bag, looks down into it, and there was his watch. She got back to the guest house where she was staying and went into the bedroom, and there on the dresser as she was raising support. Sounds like a missionary on deputation, doesn't it? I'm never sure what the moral of that story is, but maybe it's beware of missionaries carrying umbrellas. But thinking of the theme for the week, a changeless message in a changing world. Now, I mentioned I love change. I'm one of those crazy guys that I like change. That's why you ask Trish and I where we live, we'll tell you our address is American Airlines. We spend about 9 months a year on the road, get most continents, most years. Incredible privilege, pastoring missionaries around the world. The greatest part of that is we get to see what God is doing all over the world. And in that sense, I love change. But there's only one reason why I love change. Because I've got an anchor in something that's changeless. And when we develop that anchor, we drive that stake down, then we can handle the change that happens around us. And that anchor has to be found in God and in the very heart of God himself. And so I want to take the next 2 or 3 hours tonight and talk just a little bit about the heart of God and how that ought to impact you and me as we take a look at this role, this thing we call missions, that we need to respond to. Help me out for just a moment. I'm going to open my Bible to the first place that missions is presented. Where do I go? I've got one pastoral suggestion. Does anyone else have an idea? Now, they're not real sure here, Ron. But you can rest, you can be encouraged. Your pastor went to the right place. You go back to the book of Genesis, and in the first 12 chapters of the book of Genesis, there's a number of exciting things that take place there, and they're mostly all bad. But every one of them gives us some insight into the character of God. Now, the three F's, so I'm going to help you out here real quick. If I go back to Genesis chapter 3, what's the first F that we find there? The story of what? The fall. Where here is man, perfect relationship with God, great times together. They walked and talked together in the garden, enjoyed one another's fellowship, great time. And then Satan shows up in the form of a serpent. Can you imagine how beautiful serpents must have been in that time to have caught their attention? Says to Eve, God didn't really mean to say that. It's perfectly okay for you to go ahead and do this. You're not disobeying God. He was worried you were going to be too much like him. You'll really like the results of this. She took it, gave it to Adam. They ate. Can you imagine how that made God feel? And yet, what did God do? When we come back to Genesis chapter 3, the Lord came back after that. He says in verse 15, he says, I'm going to put enmity, he's talking to the serpent, I'm put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Genesis 3:15 is where missions starts. Man had just spit in the face of God, and God said, I'm going to send somebody to take care of this broken relationship. Now, sir, Satan, you're going to do all you can to mess it up, but he will see that you are defeated. He'll see that this, the theology that comes from the rest of Scripture, he'll see that this sin issue is taken care of. So here we see the heart of God, where man actually just says, God, get out of my life. God says, let me come back and love you into a right relationship with me. We turn over just a few more chapters. The story begins in chapter 6. A guy named Noah shows up. What's our second F? The flood. Why was the flood necessary? Because man was so sinful, God said, I'm sorry that I made him. Now, how many of you know people that you, don't raise your hand, that you just don't like? You know anybody like that? You know, if you could just politely suggest they move off the planet, it would be okay. We all face that. We take a look at governments, look around the world at different countries. You know, how did that guy get to be the head of that nation? You know, maybe we could just drop a little bomb in there and take care of that. And we look around the world, and yet every time we see the character of God come out, people who are vile people, people that are rotten people, he says, it's so bad, I've got to destroy man, but I'm going to keep a remnant. I'm going to keep out someone. And it doesn't say it in these words, but I'm going to keep out someone that will be able to keep the civilization going and know who I am. Then you move over to chapter 11 and we have the third F, but it's not called an F probably in your vocabulary, so I'll have to tell you what it is, and that's the flop or the failure. And it's my least favorite chapter in Scripture. The reason is, when Trisha and I travel all over the world, I can't communicate with kids. Why? It's called this language thing. What happened in Genesis 11? Tower of Babel, where God came down and says, you guys think you're going to build this tower? You're going to build up the sky? You won't need God? You can take care of everything yourself? Man shaking their fist in the face of God. He says, I'll just mess up your languages. So here in these three major times where God's heart was incredibly offended, he says, read chapter 12. And here we see the heart of God that really sets the table for the concept of missions. Now the Lord God said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. Where did he tell Abram to go? He just said, go. You keep going. When I say turn left, you turn left. When I say turn right, you turn right. When I say stop, you'll know you're there. Leave from your relatives, from your father's house, the land that I'm going to show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And in that statement, here is a God who in the previous 11 chapters, and we really have to say previous 9 chapters, because chapter 1 and 2 was all about God in creation. In those 9 chapters, everything man did was offensive to God. And so God came and said, Abraham, I want you to go out. You just keep going, and I'll tell you when to stop. And because you go, the whole world's going to get blessed. So I ask the question, in the mind of God, what's the purpose of missions? And the ultimate answer is to be a blessing. So this God who never changes, even in the context of a world, even in his day, that just kept changing and usually in the wrong direction, God said, I'm going to send somebody out to bless the world. So if that comes from the heart of God, What is my primary responsibility if I'm going to serve God today? If I were to go door to door right around your church here, how many of your neighbors would say, boy, that church is a blessing. We're really glad they're there. You see, God's call is, in the sinful world, I want to bless people. And that's why I call out a people for my name. Because what's the greatest blessing you can offer somebody? It's called camp what, John? Good news. What's the erudite theological word for good news? Gospel. How do you bless people? Let them know there's hope. Let them know there's life. Let them know there's reason for living. But sometimes you need to feed them before you can tell them that because they're hungry. Sometimes you need to meet other practical needs with medical care. Sometimes you need to get the scriptures or the message in a language they can understand. You see, if we will start with the heart of God expressing itself in a changing world, we have to go back to the fact that God said, I want to bless this place with who I am and with the people I send out. That's one of the reasons why at HCJB, our tagline is being the hands and voice of Jesus. We want to touch people so that they get blessed, but we want to do it for the glory of God. And a question I love to ask very simply is, who are you blessing for the glory of God? Who's really glad you came? Who's really glad that you live in their neighborhood? Who's really glad that you came to their country? It's one of the reasons why a primary focus we have in Ecuador is called community development. Going out into very rural areas. One of our projects out there is developing potable water systems. Most people in the third world have never known what it's like to feel good. We call it parasites. When our medical caravans go out around the country, they take a box like would hold a dishwasher, a washing machine, or a clothes. They have three boxes that size. One of them has a little bit of everything, and two of them have parasite medicine. So you can cure people of parasites very quickly until they go back home and drink the same water. So you go out, you clean up their water system, you show them how to do it, how to keep it clean, how to run water down to their village to where a water tap becomes a status symbol in the village. And in 2 weeks, the health of the community changes. Do you know what those people say? A, what a blessing. B, why'd you do it? And we have seen entire communities come to Christ just for cleaning up their water. But the principle is being a blessing. But being a blessing for purpose. And as people are moving out around the world today, recognizing the heart of God has not changed. God still wants people to be blessed. We can meet a world that's changing. HCJB began back in 1931. They call it the World Radio Missionary Fellowship Incorporated, and there were 6 radios in Ecuador. Somebody invented shortwave, so they went into shortwave. Then people started moving to the cities, and when they moved to the cities, they stopped listening to shortwave. So there came this thing called satellite. And that's why in Elkhart, Indiana, with folks like the DeBontes, we've been able to develop some really, actually beyond state-of-the-art transmission equipment, because the world is changing. In fact, teenagers, how many of you guys listen to the radio? Okay, most of you do. This is the answer I get most of the time. People say, man, you guys got radios. You can reach kids all over the world. Did you know that 52% of the world's population is under age 20? Everybody says, oh, you got to use the radio. Kids have quit using the radio. We've lost that opportunity. You got to get on their MP3 players and their iPods and all of these things if you're really going to reach down to where they are, because they're choosing what they want to listen to, not just what you happen to put on as the next song. But how many of you love youth music? You guys don't have to respond to this. How many of you love youth music? How many of you would pay to support a radio station that played youth music? Well, you know, you need to be a little more spiritual and help out here, don't we? That's some of the struggles that we find in the church today when we talk about blessing a world. Because I like to bless a world with what makes me comfortable. And I want them to act like I like act. And I want them to dress like I dress. And I want them to enjoy the things that I enjoy. And if they don't, boy, that's really too bad. And I need to keep coming back to that changeless heart of God that says, I want you to go bless people. I want you to meet people where they are with their needs. When I pastored in Southern California back in the early 70s, it was back in the hippie movement. Some of you will remember those days. We saw hundreds and hundreds of young people come to Christ. It was an incredible time. We take no credit for it. We used to say we could read from the phone book and people would come to Christ. But you know what happened? I remember sitting one night in a deacon's meeting, and one guy just slapped his hand down on the table and he said, "Why can't they be like us?" And that has always stuck with me, how easy it is for me to want them to change to be like me, rather than my willingness to change, not what I believe, not the message I preach, but so I can go where they are. Remember, the whole character of God is, God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. He sent his son. Can you imagine the trauma of going from heaven to earth? I thought it was bad going from Oregon to Ecuador. But that's the heart of God. And that's what doesn't change. So whether I'm 15 or 50 or whatever it is, if I want to be involved with God in a world, I need to realize it starts not simply with a changeless message, which absolutely never changes, but it starts with the very character of the one who proclaimed that message. In his heart for a world. That's why I love to see John up here get excited about reaching kids. Praise hallelujah. Don't ever lose that. That's why I like to hear Jeff say, let me tell you about all the changes we're making. Why? Because we want to reach young people. God never changes, but God meets people where they are. And he invites us to do the same. And that's really the bottom line of missions. You can go up and down the tables over here and you can see different ways that God has raised up different organizations and different ministries to reach different cross-sections or different countries or different contexts. But it all has the heart of God. Let me just tell you two stories, we'll quit. God is doing great things in the world today and just meeting people where they are. You're familiar with the Dalits? How many tell you who the Dalits are? D-A-L-I-T, just as HCJBers can do that. Okay, that is the bottom caste in India. They're the ones that don't get education. They're told by the fact that you're a part of that caste, your jobs are listed for you. And they're street sweepers, barn mucker outers, and things of that nature. And as a result, very few Dalits are literate. God, through some miraculous things, changed laws in Australia several years ago so that our Australian office was able to erect a shortwave radio station in northern Australia. And they're broadcasting from there into India, presently in 12 languages from India. And we have just learned this summer that many of those Dalits are coming to Christ, listening to those programs, and immediately they can read and study the Bible. Sounds like the book of Acts, doesn't it? Some of us struggle, well, I don't know if God does those kind of things these days. But you see, God meets people where they are, and he says, I can change the life, I can change the heart, I can change the capacity to learn. But the miracle is, the moment they're coming to Christ, many of them have immediately the capacity to read so they can study the scripture. That tells me a lot about the heart of God. Several years ago, we began planning FM stations around the world. We won't tell you the story about how God led us into doing that, but helping local groups start local Christian radio stations all over the world. We have about 350 out there right now. And we moved into Russia. They invited us to come. I was in Moscow in 92 when they said, you guys got to help us. We've got to reach our people. We've got to do it quickly. And we think radio is the only way to do it. So we started planning Christian radio stations there. Wound up there are 10 right now in Russia. And basically there won't be any more unless some major changes happen over there. But in the meantime, we'd gotten time on a satellite that covered the whole Russian-speaking world so that we could provide programming for those radio stations. And then when the government, through some things that they were enacting, really ended the possibility of more radio stations, here we had a satellite for 10 stations, and satellites are not cheap. And again, long story made short, one of our guys over there met with the superintendent of the prisons in St. Petersburg. And the guy said, you know, it's really fascinating that you guys have that and it's Christian programming. Could we get the downlink on our prison in St. Petersburg? And if you may not be aware of it, but every building constructed during the Soviet era is wired for cable radio. So all you had to do is get the signal to the building, plug it in, and it went to every room in the building. And Trish and I have been in many of those places, and you see this little black switch on the wall, and it's got two choices, on and off. And so we said, sure, we'll do that. So we put a downlink on the prison in St. Petersburg. And they started downlinking that, went into every cell in the prison. And within 2 years, the behavior in that prison had totally changed. To the point that word got back to Moscow at central headquarters for prisons. And the superintendent of Russian prisons went to St. Petersburg to find out why. And his statement was, I interviewed guards, prisoners, and administrators. And I said, how do you account for the change in behavior here? And he said, every one of them told me the same thing. He says, it's the message that radio station preaches. What they preach has changed the lives of our inmates, and that's why the behavior has changed. This guy went back to Moscow, sent an edict out all across Russia. Every prison in Russia is to get one of those downlinks. And today, we have 3 ex-prisoners, led by one young man that was discipled by our missionary in Moscow, traveling all over Russia, putting downlinks on radio stations. Until 3 weeks ago. And a church that I won't name has decided they don't like the evangelicals doing that. And a church that claims to believe the Bible, claims to worship God, claims to believe in salvation by grace, has said no more. And they carry enough weight in Russia that right now they've stopped the process. But God says, I just want to bless people with the ultimate blessing. It's called eternal life. So as we look at the changeless part, it stays in the heart of God. And that's why I wanted to start there tonight. Because it's the God we have to focus on. It's the God that we serve who never changes. I am the Lord, I change not, Malachi tells us. But he said, I realize that the world around us changes. And that's where we're called to reach. And that's why we need to make changes oftentimes so we can be a blessing to the world. Is the world of Southern Maine happy that you're here? We have to continually ask. For years it was Ecuador. Is Ecuador glad we are here? I appreciate it. One morning I was sitting at breakfast next to the Minister of Defense for the country. And he said to me, he said, although not all of us have accepted your message, all of us in this government believe that HCJB has been why Ecuador has been one of the most protected nations in South America. Your message has made a difference in our nation. And my answer is, thank you, Lord. That's why he's put us here. That's why he's put you here. And that's the great call. God never changes. Let's be a blessing for His glory. Father, thank You for the privilege of representing You in a world. Thank You for the opportunity to be a blessing. And I pray that You would help us to be conscious of that, even in a world and in circles and contexts that we may not be comfortable or we may not appreciate. But may we realize, Lord, that from Your heart comes the cry that a world would know who You are. And You've placed in our hands different tools, different capabilities, different opportunities. May we be faithful to be a blessing in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our places of business, and around the world, so that the world may know that there is a God who never changes. And we'll just thank You for that privilege in Jesus' name. Amen.